Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home, where we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why is human nature so evil? And on the other hand, can be so good. What is this contradiction of human nature, and why are people this way? How many times have you watched the news, and here's a prominent individual that really is out doing good, and then they find that they're in the middle of something desperately evil? How does that happen? Why are humans this way? What is wrong with human beings that this can be so? Now, when every child is born, it's sweet, it's lovely, it's cuddly. Even the worst men in the world that you can think of were born that way. Whoever they may be, whatever the worst man in the world or worst woman in the world that you can think of, how did they become so evil? Why do human beings want to kill and destroy? Think about it for a minute. The whole history of the world is from one war to another war, whether tribal, whether national, whether international or world. Now, I've got Encyclopedia of World History at home called Langer's Encyclopedia of World History, and it lists the year and the war, and the year and the war, and the year and the revolt, the year and the religion, all the way down through time from the beginning of written history. So why is that so? Well, we find the answer right at the beginning of the Bible. Because God made man and woman in his own image to be good, to do right, to do great things. And people can do those things, can't they? But evil always comes out, doesn't it? So they discover the atom and they make bombs. And they discover the rockets and now they can make them go faster than the speed of sound. So they can put bombs on them. We can send men to the moon. We can send rockets and satellites out in space. But here on the earth, it's filled with sin and wretchedness. See, when God first created man and woman, he gave them free moral agency, independent free moral agency. And you will hear this, IFMA. Now, God did not want to make robots. Robots can only do what they're programmed to do. And even if they have what is called artificial intelligence today, they can only do what they're programmed to do with the options that are put in the artificial intelligence. God didn't want that. Robots cannot love, but God wants us to love. Robots cannot have emotions and feelings. God wants us to have emotions and feelings. Now, there are good emotions and there are evil emotions. And why is that so? How did that come about? Well, here in Genesis 3, we've been there before, but let's go back there. Let's see the account and why this took place. Now, God gave specific instructions, and we will see one of the most important things in the Bible is this, to obey the voice of God. And we saw that God told Adam and Eve they can eat of every tree in the Garden of Eden except the one in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why did God give that choice? To find out, would they obey God and love God? Now, they were right there with God. You can't have anything more perfect than that. You can't have any greater start than Adam and Eve, created perfect by God, talking with God, understanding things that God told them, understanding about the laws and commandments of God. And this one tree, God said, do not eat of it, don't touch it, for in the day that you do, in dying, you shall die. But what else happened? Because they ate it. Well, we saw that Adam blamed God, said the woman. So God talked to the woman and said, why did you do this? She said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so then God told the serpent, cursed are you, because that was Satan the devil. Cursed are you. You will go on your belly all the days of your life. Now, for man and for woman, they then were cut off from the tree of life that was in the garden. Now, whenever there is sin, which is what Adam and Eve did, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, let's just project this forward clear down to our time. God is so great and so marvelous and so good, yet he is judge over life and death. Yet he is judge for good and evil. And God is merciful and kind and forgiving. That is true. But when Adam and Eve sinned, things changed. It changed with them, and it changed with the environment. So let's see what God told Adam and what God told Eve, because now they were cut off from God on a personal daily basis and only had contact with him on special occasions. And they were thrust out of the Garden of Eden and kept away from the tree of life. Let's come to Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your sorrow and your conception, and sorrow shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that is a law that today is violated almost everywhere. Now, Eve wasn't the only one to have sorrow, but Adam was to have sorrow. Now, verse 17, and to Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, instead of to the voice of God. Every indication was this, that if Adam would have stopped Eve from picking and eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we wouldn't be where we are today. But Adam sat back and watched her, and nothing happened. She didn't die, and he didn't have a concept of what death was because nothing had died in her presence before. So she came and said, look at him, this is good. So he ate. And because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is cursed for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. It shall also bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So their nature changed to become hostile to God. That is human nature. Now, because of this sin, God also showed that it would be, from this time forward, the choice between God and Satan. And that God prophesied that there would be a Savior to redeem mankind in His overall great plan. Now, if you don't have our book, A Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, which you write for it, because in that book, it shows how the world is under Satan the devil, and how God is going to redeem people and the world in His plan. You also need the other book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? Why did God continue with human beings with this kind of nature? What is God going to do? How is He going to take care of this problem? You need those two books. So let's go back and see what God said to the serpent. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is a prophecy of the coming church, as well as physical between human beings and serpents, and between your seed and her seed. And her seed here is a prophecy of the coming of Christ 4,000 years later. And that happened. He will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel, showing that Christ is going to overcome and get rid of Satan, and that Satan would be the instigator of his death, cruelly, on the cross. And all human nature from that time, going clear down to Christ, has had very little variation from it. So let's see what else God said, because this gives an indication of God's plan. Now, this is what is so good about the Old Testament. Please understand that, which is this. In the Old Testament, there are prophecies and there are clues that are given. So the rest of the Bible answers these prophecies and answers these clues. But you need to know how to study the Bible. And you need our Bible. You need the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. And with it, we will send you the booklet which shows the difference between 27 modern translations and the faithful version. And the faithful version has everything that it should be from the original Hebrew and the original Greek, and the other translations have additions and deletions all the way through. You probably never knew that. So you go to faithfulversion.org and check out the Bible online. So here's what happened. Genesis 3, verse 22. Then God said, Behold, man has become like one of us to decide good and evil. See, men and women were never given the authority to make the final decision on good and evil. That was God's prerogative. So they took that prerogative to themselves under the deception of Satan the devil. And now, lest they put forth their hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. Now this shows that eternal life can never be given to people with just regular human nature. That's why when you come all the way down to the New Testament, it is a change of heart and mind and conversion. And that was only offered to a few of the patriarchs through the 4,000 years from Adam and Eve until Christ. So human nature is a mixture of good and evil, and the evil generally overcomes the good. And that is called sin. So lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and live forever. Meaning, he's not going to do that. Man is not going to come in and figure out a way to live forever. Only God can do that. But look at it today. They're still trying to figure out how to live forever.
Many of us wonder what it would be like to go back 20 years. Well, that could become a reality sooner than we think, says those dedicated to the longevity movement.
We now have the conventional people understanding the prospect of immortality is here.
Fixing damage that comes with age, that researchers say can be reversed by doing things like stem cell therapy and putting youthful blood and plasma in older bodies.
Not necessarily fixing all the damage, but fixing enough of it so as to roll back the clock and buy time.
To learn how to live longer and better is why people from all over are attending this year's Revolution Against Aging and Death Festival.
But how many people want God? How about you? Do you want God? Do you want His way? Do you want His truth? Do you want to love Him? Do you want to keep His commandments? What is it that you want in your life? Because just like God told Adam, dust you are and to dust you return. And all of us die once. In Adam, death passes to all of us. We'll see that in just a minute. So here's what God did. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove the man out, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So the Garden of Eden was there with cherubim there until the flood of Noah. And we see that Adam and Eve, as well as Cain and Abel, and then also their progeny, could come to the east of the Garden of Eden and they could meet God there. And God would appear to them as much like a human being. And he would give them instruction. He gave them his laws. He gave them his commandments. He probably showed them many things what they should do. So let's see the nature of good and evil in human beings as depicted by Cain and Abel. And there are many lessons that we can learn. So let's come to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've gotten me a man-child from the Lord. Maybe she even expected this man-child to be the prophesied Savior of Genesis 3:15. Because God never told them when the Messiah was coming. So she could have assumed that. She bore again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Both were good things to do. Now, does God have commandments concerning animals? Yes. Does he have commandments concerning the ground? Yes. In both cases, the first of the firstborn was to be brought to God, the firstling. From the animal, and from the ground, the first fruits, and the tithe. So, if both would have followed God's instructions, everything would be fine. But let's see why it wasn't fine. Let's continue on here. Verse 3, and it came to pass that Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, if it had been according to the instructions of God, that would have been fine. But let's see, it wasn't. We'll find that in just a bit. Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now this tells you that the same laws that God gave to Israel way later were in effect here. The firstborn, the tithing, and all of that. And the Lord had regard unto Abel and his offering. Why did he have regard to it? Because he did it according to the command of God. And of course, if you follow the commands of God, That is what God expects, even for people not converted. Conversion is another whole thing, which we'll get to later. But we're just talking about human nature that can be good, and Abel was good. But we will see Cain was not good. Let's read on. Verse 5, he did not have regard unto Cain and his offering, and Cain was exceedingly angry and his countenance fallen. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And that's what people do. They get angry at God because God doesn't accept what they're doing. Is that God's fault? Why don't they find out what God wants first? Then they won't have to get angry and get mad at God. Now you see, every one of these things come into independent, free, moral agency to choose. Cain chose not to do the will of God. Abel chose to do the will of God. So let's see what God said to Cain. Verse 7, if you do well, notice the if. He had a choice. He knew what to do. Otherwise, God would not bring it against him. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Why? To do well is keeping the commandments of God. If you don't do well, sin lies at the door. He wanted to do it any old way. He brought something to God that was not according to the commandments that God had given them. And he chose to do just what he wanted to do. Now, how many people do that? How many people say, well, I'm a good person and God knows that? Really? How do you know that your life is good? What goes on in your mind? What are the deepest thoughts in your heart? Are they of God? Or are they of self? Or are they of Satan the devil? So let's see right here. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. That's the whole story of the Bible right there. To obey the voice of God and do what is good, or to sin. And if you sin, sin will rule over you. And if you increase it in degree, you will become excessively wicked. Now, that's why there are the civil authorities to take care of criminals and crooks and liars and thieves. God instituted the civil governments to take care of the wicked. In this case here, because there were few human beings on the earth, and at this time, the historian Josephus recalls that this was at 135 years of their existence. So look at how much time has passed in just these few verses. Verse 8, and Cain talked with his brother Abel. Now, I wonder what they talked about. He probably said, well, you know, God didn't accept what I brought, and I thought what I brought was good. And Abel probably told him, well, look, Cain, if you do what God asked you to do, just like he said, you'd be accepted. Okay, verse 8. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, now notice the total evil. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. There is the epitome of evil of human nature right from the beginning of the world. And all of that is based upon independent free moral agency, IFMA. What do you choose? Look at your life. Compare it to what God has said that he expects you to do. Even people in the world who are not converted, who do not have the Holy Spirit of God, God judges according to His commandments. You need to understand that. So then, God said to Cain, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, of course, the whole thing is the Bible is to love one another, right? And if you love one another, you're your brother's keeper, right? Yes. And God said, verse 10, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, how does that work? Well, God is able to know when there is blood shed. Now, think about that when you consider all the blood shed by mankind down through history and all wars and in all societies. And let's project ahead today. What about the killing of the unborn, the most innocent blood of all? And that has been done down through history, where they didn't have abortion. They devised a religion to sacrifice these innocent children to their gods. And that's recorded in the book of Jeremiah. So we need to think about what we do, where we're going, how it has come about. Now, Genesis 6 and verse 5. And as we read this, remember, Jesus prophesied to his disciples that as it was in the days of Noah before the flood, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What do you think about? What is on your mind? Because God is going to judge you for that. And unless you repent and accept the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and are baptized, you are going to find that you're going to suffer a terrible judgment from God. That's God's promise. And it was so bad that verse 6, "And the Lord repented that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the crawling thing, the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them." We can be thankful for Noah. Now that's quite a story. And we find in the first part of Genesis here, three righteous men, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? So, this is how human nature became evil, because they rejected God, rejected His laws, rejected His commandments, and went their own way by choice. And by choice, devised evil society. Is that not the way it is today? Yes, indeed. So be sure and write in for the information on the Bible, why were you born, and occult holidays and God's holy days, which. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.